And good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio, and opening up last night at the Robinson Film Center, the movie Uncertain, produced and directed by Ewan McNichol and Anna Sandilan. It was filmed in and around Uncertain, Texas, and joining me now in our Knoll Foundation studios is Megan Hochstedler, who is the executive director of the Robinson Film Center, and via phone, Wayne Smith, who is a central figure in this documentary, along with producer Ewan McNichol. Wayne, Megan, and Ewan, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, glad to be here.
So let's start with Ewan, and we're going to go into a brief description that you have on your press release for this documentary. It says it's a visually stunning and disarmingly funny portrait of the literal and figurative troubled waters of Uncertain, Texas, a 94-resident town so tucked away you've got to be lost to find it. So how did you up in Seattle find Uncertain, and what made you decide this is a subject matter, we've got to go and visit this place?
Well, we were actually over in Lafayette working on another project, and we literally found it from looking on a map, and we saw the body of water, Caddo Lake, and saw a town name, Uncertain, and we just decided to drive there. And driving into town, we saw these signs, the Church of Uncertain, Uncertain Town Hall, the Uncertain Tavern. So we were kind of intrigued by this peculiar town at first, and we started asking around to figure out how a town like Uncertain got its name, and it seemed that no one was actually certain how Uncertain got its name. Well. And so that was sort of originally was the premise of a short film that we might thought we might make. It really is a mystical and mythical landscape, and that was one of the things that really intrigued us at first. It really felt like we were in some sort of otherworldly place, but soon realized that there was a bigger story there and some amazing people, which turned out to become part of the longer film.
So from inception to finish, exactly how did this whole project change in your minds?
Well, it was very early on that we realized that it was more than a short film. And it was the second day of filming. We went out on the lake with Henry Lewis, who is an African-American fisherman who's been living in Uncertain most of his life. He's quite well known as he's in the area. He's such a fantastic fisherman and fishing guide. And he took us out on the lake, and we were just taken with him. He's a real character, very candid. We were kind of blown away by him. And then that afternoon we met the mayor of Uncertain, who said we should talk to Pigman. And Pigman turned out to be Wayne Smith on the line here. and we were told he's a hog hunter. So we went out hog hunting with him that day, and he told us fairly early on, he was very candid and told us some stories from his past. And we again realized that both of these men were incredibly open with us, and we were ironically uncertain about what the film we were making for 9 months of the filmmaking process. But we just knew whatever we did, these men, Henry, Wayne, and the other third main character in the film, Zach Warren, these men had stories to tell, so we just focused on filming them and their stories, and eventually it came together.
So you sound from your accent like you might be from across the Great Pond originally.
Yes.
Was this your first hog hunt, wild hog hunt that you'd ever been on?
It certainly was. I've heard of boar hunting. There isn't much boar hunting in Britain, but there is. I know they boar hunt in continental Europe, but I've never seen anything quite like it. And actually, the first time I went hunting with Wayne, or filming Wayne Hunt, should I say, we were sitting in his hunt stand for quite a few hours, and suddenly this incredible sound. It was like almost as though it was hailing, and it was all these hogs coming barreling through the forest, and it was the sound of them running up across the leaves and the ground, and they came out into the open space. And I really have never seen a wild pig before. So it was another mythical moment. It was a very strange intriguing moment.
From those three characters, let's go into sort of the background and the persona of each of these characters as you discovered it, as you were filming. Could you tell us, from your perspective, who is Henry and what is his tale?
Well, Henry is a man, an elderly gentleman that has lived his life in that area, and he has spent much of his life trying to deal with a moment 30 or 40 years ago where he took another man's life. And he has struggled to find forgiveness. He struggled to forgive himself. And he is trying to find kind of peace with what happened 30 years ago.
And how about Zach?
So Zach is the younger of the three men. And we saw each of them as in some way representing three generations of uncertain men. There's Zach, who in some ways represents the future, Wayne, who is a middle-aged man who is very much the present, and then there's Henry, who is in his twilight years, for us kind of represents the past. And Zach, when we started filming, was 21 years old, and he talked about when you live in uncertain and you turn 21, you retire. There's not a lot for a young man to do in uncertain, and the story of Zach is very much of a young man with big dreams, big hopes, but perhaps with limited possibilities. Mm. And he also is a man, a young man, that's struggling with health issues. And his is very much a story of trying to overcome those health issues and look for a better life.
Now, one of the things you said in your press materials that you were really touched by Wayne's honesty. Can you go into a little bit of this and let us know how it kind of transformed your vision of where the story was going?
Yeah, early on, we realized that Wayne had a lot of heartache and had been through a great deal of struggle. And I think we admired how he was willing to kind of open up those wounds and lay all of this out on the table. And so for us, that separate from all the hog hunting and his search for Mr. Ed, the big bad hog in the film, we felt like it was a very brave thing to do, to be willing to open up and talk about these moments in his past.
Part of that came about when you discovered that he was using black powder and ball to go hog hunting rather than, you know, a more powerful, sort of more modern rifle.
Yes. Perhaps Wayne should answer that question.
All right. Well, we'll get to you then, Wayne. Give us the synopsis of what you laid out for Ewan.
Sure, Bill. And I want to thank Ewan for the kind words. You know, originally, when I was approached by these filmmakers, I thought, well, you know, this will be something, you know, my great-great-grandchildren can look at and say, you know, wasn't he a crazy guy or something, you know, along those lines. But because I had no idea that these guys were already award-winning filmmakers. But as we were sitting out in the woods and we had gone do some exploring, they just wanted to kind of look at some sites. And I had some rifles and some other, you know, firearms with me. And they asked me, they said, why do you use black powder, you know? And then, you know, I've got the party line. Well, it's more sportsmanlike, you know, blah, 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 you know, all that makes me a better hunter. And I asked them, you know, do you want the truth or you want the party line? And they very quickly said, we want the truth. And I said, well, I'm a convicted felon. And I think at that moment, there was some fear struck into their hearts, because here we are out in the middle of the woods, you know, with some pretty powerful firepower. However, you know, heart responds to heart. And, you know, I just felt that they were so very, there was no animosity in their question. There was no judgment in, you know, my response. And it led to a very open dialogue. And I have to say, they have led from their heart through this entire process.
So, Ewan, one of the things that I gather from reading all of the material is that really you're talking throughout this movie about people, you know, struggling against a lot of very, very tough odds to not only, you know, survive in this world, but survive with dignity and find sort of a redemption. Would that be a correct kind of assumption?
Yeah, I think it's a very good summarizing of the film. And then the backdrop to those men's stories is man's place in nature.
Right.
And for the community of uncertain that is on the shores of Caddo Lake and relies on the lake for their living, the way in which this weed, the giant salvinia, has taken over the lake last number of years, in the film becomes a sort of backdrop for these men's stories. So it also is it's a story of redemption, but it's also very much kind of story of man and nature.
Well, and survival.
And you survival. Know,
the lake is fighting for its survival.
Yeah.
We are fighting for our survival.
There are a number of characters outside of the three that we've discussed that have to deal with the town. One is, of course, the sheriff. Can you tell us about the sheriff in the town, Ewan?
So the Sheriff McCool, who features in the film, and he is the sheriff of Harrington County, he doesn't have a direct role in dealing with the environmental impact of giant salvinia of the lake, but his role in the film is more of a kind of introductory role to sort of setting the scene and setting the tone for where this story is about to take place. But in the film there's also there's a scientist who Lee who is he actually unfortunately he's no longer in Uncertain, but he was being on the lake doing research for Texas A&M for a number of years and had developed what is essentially a weevil farm that generates weevils, a small bug that eats giant salvinia, and the idea being that potentially if they were introduced into the lake that they only eat giant salvinia, and by introducing into the lake perhaps it would find a sort of balance where this weed would not take over. So Lee, the scientist, he features in the film, and then there's Billy Carter, who runs Johnson's Ranch, the marina in Uncertain, and his role is very much that of a local business owner, and how do you navigate such a dramatic environmental impact in a community like that. And then there was a shopkeeper, Karen Holtzman, who runs Johnson's Ranch, central figure in the town. The game warden, Darren Peebles, who you'll occasionally see out on the Caddo Lake. Yeah, he a relatively small role in the film, but there's a scene with Henry, the fisherman, and him in Johnson's Ranch, and we learn in that scene as Darren questions Henry about his past, and we get a sense early on that Henry has stories that he's going to tell us.
So one of the things that strikes me about the images that came across on this is the cinematography. And, you know, a lot of times we see these beautifully photographed documentaries or films, and it just looks so simple. It just flows right across the screen. But that belies the pain that you go through to gather all of that footage. You spent over a year and a half filming this in Uncertain?
Yeah, that's right. It was a year and a half, the filming duration. But we made, I think it was 10 or 11 trips down, and we would fly back and forth from Seattle, where we live, and stay for a week or 2 weeks at a time. You know, the lake is so beautiful, and it's so kind of mythical that the kind of cinematography very much came from the lake. It very much came from being in that environment. It's a very mythical. So I think early on when we started filming it, it kind of spoke to us. It sounds a bit cliche, but it very much spoke to us. And so we wanted the film to make you feel like you're in some kind of tale of some sort. When you're watching the film, we try and keep you in the character stories, unlike a lot of documentaries where there's a narrator, you know, a third person or fourth person narrator. Each of these men narrate their own stories, and we're not really involved. You don't hear us as filmmakers.
So as you were going through and meeting all the different residents, what would you say is the one common element that binds them all together and keeps them in this sleepy little hideaway town on Caddo Lake?
That's a good question. I think there is, early on we noticed how, because it's such a small community, people take care of others. You know, I think you, in many ways, you have to, but there is a sense there that if you have a problem, someone else will help you out. So I do think there is camaraderie, there is a support system, a sort of unspoken support system there. And I could see why that keeps people there. I think also I was amazed by how independent everyone was. There's a spirit there. There's a kind of stoic character in people. People are quite proud of their independence. And perhaps being in a more rural environment, taking control of all the things you need to take control of, versus relying on a, you know, the city and the services of a city, there's some sort of independence. I noticed that with everyone we met.
Well, Wayne, having lived there for a while, what would you tap into that, or do you have anything to add to
sure,
perspective?
I mean, there absolutely is a huge sense of community there, and the local cafe, I used to say, up there, Shady Glade Cafe, was kind of like walking into Floyd's Barber Shop from the Andy Griffith Show, where everybody kind of knew everybody, and people were concerned about others' welfare. The other thing that I picked up on there and actually, I've strived for is to live much closer to the land. And the people are tied to their environment, to the lake, and, myself, to the food supply that I found in the surrounding areas by way of the wild boar.
It almost sounds like a throwback to a past world where the town would gather together, and if your house burnt down, they'd build you a new house.
Well, I think if your house was burning, they'd at least bring hot dogs.
Or they put on a fish fry.
Well, there you go. You turn a negative into a positive for as long as you can. So it almost sounds like, even though it's a stoic existence and one tied to the land and certainly, a tough existence in many ways, that they would prefer that to the sort of more modernistic, just go, 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 tied to the money train and tied to the assembly line kind of life.
One of the things that is sorely missing in society today is the connection to community.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find that, and you find that it actually fills some primitive need, and you look at that and say, okay, the option is to rely on the money, it kind of gives me a sharp pain in the depths of my stomach. So I think you're absolutely right. I think that, regardless of whatever, hardships may occur, and by now most people have overcome most of those, the sense of community and the connection to humanity is, that's where I think true wealth is, much, much greater than, this doing the, making 150 grand a year and relying solely on the money. I saw a TED talk here recently where, the studies are, our connections to one another are lessening as our floor space, square footage gets larger.
One of the things that I noted about the part about you, Wayne, is that you are also out there on the land getting back to some very, very ancient spiritual roots from your family line, and that's the Native American part of your family line. Could you tell us a little bit about that journey of self-exploration, if you could?
Sure, sure. I am a Chickasaw citizen, and, early on in my early days, my father and mother both, it was a point of pride to be of Native ancestry. My father introduced me to the woods, and some of my memories back then, fondest ones, were walking through the woods with him, hunting, and him just showing me nature. He was in love with nature. At some point in my life, I found some real distractions, and when I had to rediscover my life, what do I do with myself?
Right.
And it became a very natural thing to fall back to, those spiritual beliefs from my early childhood.
Right. Well, Megan, you have been patiently waiting here as we've been discussing with you and Wayne. So this event was sold out last night, and it sold out rather quickly, did it not?
Yes. So we've been following this film since it debuted at Tribeca. I think it was 2015?
15.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I mean, it immediately piqued our interest in knowing that our audience would be really interested to see this film. And you and I don't know if you remember, but we talked on the phone back then, and you said you said we're in the middle of getting a distribution deal, and let's wait till that happens. And the way that the movie industry works, that takes a little bit of time sometimes. And so here we are now in 2017, and we're really thrilled to get to show this film. We had barely started up our publicity for this event. I think we just basically put the tickets on sale, and word got out, and it sold out just almost within a day. And so we knew that the demand was there, and said, yes, sure, we'll show it for as long as people want to come see it. So we found that everyone that's calling has a camp on Caddo Lake and Uncertain, or grew up going fishing on Caddo Lake and Uncertain. And it seems like everyone in Shreveport has a tie to Uncertain in one way or another. And there is just tons of interest for this film. I think partly because of the local connection, and also partly because it's so beautiful and such a well-made film. So we're happy to be showing it for a full run as well. So we open tomorrow on Friday, and we're going to show it for a full run. So it'll last a full week, and there are multiple screenings every day. So just check our website, which is robinsonfilmcenter.org. You can also call our box office to get tickets. And I just checked our ticket sales just before we started, and they're selling really well for the next week. So I would encourage people to go ahead and get their tickets ahead of time.
Quickly. Yeah. Now, as a preview, what else do you have coming up at the Robinson? Because we always like to preview.
Sure.
We have
a packed month this month. Just a couple of highlights coming up. We have our book club that we do every other month. This month, we're starting a new series on great film adaptations. So the book that we're reading this month is The Shining, and that's going to be on March 14th. We're partnering with the YWCA for National Women's Month. And on March 16th, we're going to show the movie Hidden Figures. And they're going to have they're going to give away their own Hidden Figure Awards to the unsung heroes of Shreveport. And we're starting a new series, Performing Arts Series, and the first installment of that is going to be the San Francisco Ballet's Romeo and Juliet that was filmed live at Lincoln Center. That's going to be on March 23rd, and then we're going to end the month on March 28th with we're going to kick off this spring series, Science on Screen. We're going to explore the world of artificial intelligence with the movie Ex Machina.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. Ewan, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with our audience about this film and what it took to make, and what you believe they will walk away with?
Well, I think for us, what has been really interesting over the last 6 months, having screened it at a number of film festivals and having now collectively seen sort of a seismic shift in politics in the U.S. and a nation that feels more divided than it has done in a long time, I think what we're excited by with this film is this, it's kind of the power and the potential of storytelling like this to give a window to this part of America, and in many ways allow unheard voices like Wayne's, Zach's, and Henry's be heard. So for us, that is really very exciting.
Wayne, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share?
You know, one of the overwhelming and truly universal experience that I've had throughout this process and throughout screenings with the film festivals and now the public screenings is that people walk away with a sense of hope.
Okay, and Megan, any final thoughts?
One of the things that we love most at the Robinson Film Center is showcasing films about our region and films made locally and regionally. And so this just fits right in with our mission, and we are thrilled to be showing this film.
All right. Well, Ewan, Wayne, and Megan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Bill.
That was Megan Hostetler, Executive Director at the Robinson Film Center, along with co-producer Ewan McNichol and Wayne Smith, who is a central figure in the documentary Uncertain, filmed in and around Uncertain, Texas, and on Caddo Lake. This opened up last night at the Robinson Film Center to a sold-out audience, sold out so quickly, in fact, that they extended the run with additional screenings beginning March 10th. For ticket information, you can visit the Robinson Film Center at their website at robinsonfilmcenter.org, or you can call them at 318-459-4122. That's 318-459-4122. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.